I speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You saw that the title of today's homily is Why Bother with Lent? The other question that comes up and did in our Bible studies this week is, why do we seem to go back to the baptism of Jesus over and over and over again? And most of the congregation has heard the wonderful story of the new pastor that makes his way to a church, and he preaches a wonderful, delightful, standing ovation quality kind of homily. And on the second week, he repeats the same one, and the leadership become concerned. And on the third Sunday, when he repeats it, a delegation of the wisest members of the executive make their way to London to have a conversation with the bishop about this new priest who seems to only have one homily. And the bishop smiles at the delegation and says, "Yep, he's preaching a sermon, all right, and when you guys get it, he'll move on to the next one." You know, clergy find that funny, but I've noticed that laity don't. I wonder why. We keep getting the baptismal passage. Why? Because it's a cornerstone of everything that we believe. But today, I'd like you to join me down a path we've never been down before. What if is the question today? What if Jesus arrived at the baptism? He not only knew the message of this baptism, but he knew the messenger. For John was his cousin. They were family. There's a pretty good chance they knew each other fairly well. Except, what if John always knew Jesus was a little bit different? What if Jesus always knew that John was a little bit different and wondered why? Was it God's call upon their life that made them unusual personalities to conduct themselves in unusual ways? You know, John shows up in a long, full-length fur coat, pulls out of his pocket a little baggie of bugs and honey and chews on them. He seems to have the strange appearance. He's an unusual figure in history. People aren't so sure about him. But at the same time, they're deeply and profoundly concerned with the socioeconomic situation of their time. Everything's in chaos, and John proclaims a message of repentance and God's forgiveness of the people for getting themselves into the situation that they were in. And they are eager for a new and fresh start. A new and fresh start. And so by the hundreds, if not more, they line up for a full immersion baptism. It's an extraordinary thing. Every single one of them is led, if not pushed, under the water. And they come out and they believe that that fresh, clean, new beginning is granted to them, that it is a repentance of their sin and a new beginning. And Jesus shows up. Only what if his motive is different? What if he understands that if he proceeds with this baptism, that it is a consent to live under the rules of the baptism as is outlined by John? What if it means Jesus' death to his former self and an embracement of God's call upon his life in ways he does not yet understand? And so that going underneath that water in that full immersion baptism, where everything goes black and it feels as if one is floating in space, and then he comes out of the water, unsure of what the future holds, and suddenly the sky splits. This term that Mark uses in the gospel is only used on one other occasion in Scripture, and that is when the backdrop of the altar splits at the death of Jesus. So in this moment, the sky splits and the dove descends on him, and there's a voice. "This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." But there's more happening. What if in that moment Jesus realizes that he has been called by God, that he is indeed God's son, and that he has a message to deliver that will get him killed? What if that extraordinary insight changes his world? What if there is a creation of an episodical memory so profound that it leads him immediately into the wilderness? And there he is tested as he redesigns the journey of the people of Israel, who were in that desert 40 years, and he will accomplish the same in 40 days, for he comes face to face with Satan and is challenged. Every tiny bit of his conscience, every tiny bit of his judgment is put into question. And he comes out fully and completely aware of God's anointing on his life and the message he is to deliver, and the consequences it will have for him and his personhood. And yet, also aware that he is more than human, that he has been given divine authority and divine power to accomplish the task that is before him. Now, if it all stops there at Jesus, you and I can remain very comfortable during the Lenten season. I mean, that's his problem, really, isn't it? God chose him. God made him to be the one to take on our sins. And therefore, we're clean. What effort need we put into the whole thing? Except that Lent is about more. Lent is about us taking the time to deliberately and intentionally experiencing a bathing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to do whatever it takes to place ourselves at the foot of the cross so that we can experience God's blessing on our life, and we too can be reminded that through our baptism, we are called as sons and daughters of Christ to share the good news with the world, to announce the kingdom come, and yet also to suffer like Christ did in some forms in this world, all the while knowing we are the anointed, we are the chosen, we are the blessed, but not in an arrogance, but a submission to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, how do we go to this next step, the wilderness experience? How do we get there? How do we move from where we are to where we want to be? To step away from the rest of the world in prayer, in reflection, in meditation, to do some introspection about who we are and who we believe God is calling us to be. It needs to be intentional. It needs to be something that changes us, whether it's a day-long hike or a new challenging book, new ways of meditating and prayer, new ways of encountering Christ, so that we can not only deal with our inner stuff, but that we can receive that anointing and blessing of the Holy Spirit. Let me return to Jesus' baptism as it relates directly to us. Do you remember the moment when we read in Scripture that the Holy Spirit came on him? There is the possibility of another interpretation of that one word. Not on him. In him. What if the Holy Spirit fell in him? and changed him forever, as our baptism changes us. I invite you to a holy Lent, a Lent that you need to define for yourselves. For you ask the question, what if I can be more for God than I am today? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.